That's the sound of my SIG P390. I love this gun. It was given to me this year for my birthday. Why do I love it? Because it's ambidextrous. Because there is no safety on this gun. You take a loaded clip, you put it in the gun, you pull it back. Normally, it would go forward and it'd be ready to fire, but because it's empty, it's not going to. That's the release to when I pull it back. And it is a 9mm. I like the length of the grips because it goes past the palm of my hand, past my pinky finger. I don't like guns that are short. Like the Walther PK, I tried it because my friend's wife said that, oh, my hands are small and it's really a nice gun and it fits perfect in my hand, and I held it and it dug into my palm. This is I think it's the full size. I don't think it's compact. I don't remember. And I like that the trigger area is long enough that my index finger, just the tip of my index finger, it goes past the trigger part. So instead of the natural instinct of putting your finger on the trigger, I keep it stretched out and rested on the bar until I'm ready to pull. However, it is kind of long and it does pull, and if you have carpal tunnel, you can feel that. To me, this is just a badass little gun. It's got the sights on it that glow in the dark. I think they're it starts with a T. Titanium something sights. Not every gun has them. These will glow in the dark. And this bad boy is accurate. By accurate, I mean when you shoot it, it's easier to hit the targeted area where I'm aiming for with one arm stretched out, looking all thug, you know, like in the movies where you shoot it sideways and you look and you line up the sights and you pull the trigger. Yeah, that's the kind of gun, you know, you see it in, I don't know if I've seen it in any movies similar. And you hit the target. I mean, this is an accurate gun. It's not like you have to point, like the Walther PK, I had to point down in order to hit up. I know, it was just weird. But, yeah. I know in the wake of the Orlando incident, there are going to be people screaming for gun control. And I will say right now, I'm not one of them. I believe in my right to bear arms, to defend my house, my home. However, I do believe that the government screwed up on this one because he was on a watch list. Yes, I understand. Everybody deserves the shadow of the doubt. Everybody deserves a second chance. He got taken off the list because, oh, whatever, for whatever reason. Sorry, once you're on the list, you're on the list. You don't get taken off that potential terrorist list. You're on the list, you stay on the list. Regardless if you're American or you're whatever nationality, citizen, whatever. Once you're on the government watchdog list, you stay on the list. Now, here's the other thing I want to know. Who decided? How did they decide to remove him from the list? Who was watching him? Do they have a room somewhere in a building somewhere where some kid, 20-year-old kid, 22, 23, is sitting there watching social media, watching Facebag, and watching these people. The investigation was done to take them off the list. How long did there's investigations that last years before it even goes to court. How did he get off the list? How do you know it's not a government plot for gun control? For the government to come in and take everybody's guns away? I'm just saying. I'm not, you know, one of those crazy people that go, oh, it's a government conspiracy. I'm just thinking out loud to my listeners, to my followers, and they go, man, that bitch crazy. She crazy, all right? No, I'm just thinking. Because I don't know these things. How'd he get off the list? Why'd he get off the list? And you know, there are some people out there that go, man, if I was on that list, they wouldn't take me off for nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'd be stuck on that list. But he got off. And yes, maybe he was dealing with the demons of his sexuality because of his nationality, because of the way he was brought up. Maybe he thought, you know, that whole self-hatred thing. It happens. And I want to know, who decides when the media says it's the worst mass killing in the United States history? Who comes up with that? Is there somebody doing the research to make sure that this has topped all other? How do they decide that? Is it just because one man shot 50 people? Or could it be, say, I don't know, an army slaughtering a group of Indians? I don't know, I'm just saying. At one given time. Is there a difference? You know, because there's a difference between spree killing, mass murder. The first thing that came to my head right now was Jonestown. But that's not in the United States. I was trying to think. Heaven's Gate. No, there was only, like, what, 20 of them, I think? 10, maybe? I don't know. Who decides to say that it's the worst mass murder in U.S. history? What are the guidelines to come up with that title? You know, it's kind of... And I know people are going to get mad, but... Like with the World Book Guinness thing. Those people have to research the stuff and say, oh, this person has used the hula hoop for 1 minute and blah, blah, blah seconds and is now the world champion because Betty Smith did it for 58 seconds and now her title is gone and we're going to give it to whoever. How did they come up with that? What was the worst mass murder prior to this? Does anybody know? The other thing is I just want to say I feel bad for the those that are left, because they've got a lot of questions, the ones laying in the hospital beds, and I feel bad for them in the sense that once the medication wears off, the post-traumatic stress disorder kicks in, the anxiety, the agoraphobia, my heart goes out to them and their families and the families of the victims. Because life for them will never be the same again. And it should make people think, not to take things for granted, not to take each other and your loved ones for granted. So who did you tell that you loved today before they left the house? Thanks for listening, guys. Laterness.